Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's inching up on 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, the 19th day of March, or as I like to call it, the eve of two of the best days of the year. I don't know if Sean's a basketball guy, junkie like I am, but I love the first 2 days, maybe the first 4 days even, of the NCAA tournament, the March Madness. Just to me, it's like it's heaven, you know, wall-to-wall basketball, upsets and crazy things happening and buzzer beaters, and I just love it.
When the University of Utah made a run in the 90s, I was a big fan. But I haven't watched much college basketball. No. I am like a college football fanatic.
Really?
Yeah.
But once football's over, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just and my wife and I met while working for the Utah Jazz. It was the Delta Center in the 90s.
And yeah.
Well, now it's back to being the Delta Center. So we had to go away from telling people we met at the Delta Center because they didn't know what we were talking about, but now they do.
We met at what is now the Vivint Smart. But now it's the Delta Center.
Energy Solutions. Yeah, had all sorts of things going on.
Sean Christensen is with me today from the Chamber of Commerce. They have some cool events coming up very soon, including one today that involves kind of a big shot, right?
Well, yeah, I guess it depends on where your allegiances lie. But
it doesn't matter. I mean, being the president is being the president, right?
Of a
higher learning institution.
Yeah, yeah. I think
so. Tell us about it.
Great things going on. So today we have for our luncheon President Randall from the University of Utah is coming into town. And
he is a big shot.
Yeah, yeah, and he's fantastic. And his family helped settle here in St. George. Like, they were original gangsters back in the day.
Is he related to Mayor Randall? Do you know that? Or?
Maybe, I guess they would have to check that out.
Same name, so,
maybe they're like eighth cousins. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
well, I had mentioned Mayor Randall when the last time I talked with Taylor up there at the U, and he didn't mention that they were relatives, so
okay.
Maybe not.
So probably not close anyway.
Yeah, but yeah.
Cool. What would be the, I mean, I don't want to steal any thunder or break any news, but it is kind of out there a little bit. What's he going to talk about today?
Yeah, so the University of Utah has announced that they're going to be opening a medical school, an extension down here, so that, you know, if you're at Utah Tech University and you're going into the medical profession, you want to be a doctor, you'll have an additional option down here. We already have Rocky Vista University. They're absolutely fantastic. And if you want to be a DO, that is an incredible school to go to. And we have close partnership with them. They'll actually be at the luncheon today with us. And also Utah Tech, we got interim President White and now President Smead, who's going to be our new president at Utah Tech. But it's going to give students an option. If they want to go the MD route, they can go through the University of Utah and attend medical school right here in Southern Utah and be fantastic.
So my degree would be from the U Medical Center, technically, the University
medical
of
school.
Utah,
yeah.
but they are going to be residing on Utah Tech's campus for the most part.
Yeah, from what I understand, I'm not sure exactly. I know there's a close partnership there, and they're working together closely on that, but I'm not quite sure where all of the facilities are going to be. I mean, this is a recent announcement. So,
well, we are obviously growing in leaps and bounds down here. I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday who said he remembers when there was one stop sign in St. George, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and now things are a little different.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but to have a medical school like that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that, you know, we're just really blessed here. Now we'll have two medical schools here in St. George. And I know the University of Utah, their focus is to take those doctors that are studying here in Southern Utah and hopefully move them into rural communities so that the medical needs in rural communities can be addressed.
I think I'm going to go way back. I think Doc Hollywood, right? Michael J. Fox. Remember that movie?
I do, yeah.
Now, in his case, his car broke down in a small town, and he ended up setting up and being a doctor in that town. But same kind of deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Reach out to the small towns. They need help, and you know, I think last I checked, so I had a friend who was a PA in Enterprise. No, it's that way. It's behind me. And they didn't have an actual doctor. That PA was as high as it went in Enterprise. So I know there are a lot of communities the size of Enterprise and others that really need a doctor.
Yeah.
It'd be a big deal.
So. Yeah. You think about what a tough decision that is, right? Because you're investing, you know, 12 years of your life. You got your bachelor's, you got medical school, and then you have your residency. And you know, then money's a big deal. They come out with a lot of debt. And so being able to address that debt appropriately and see enough patients to be able to attain their life goals as well as pay off the debt they incurred.
And I know there are programs actually where a town will pay for your medical school or at least a portion of it if you commit to being a doctor in their town for a certain number of years. Much like if the military pays for your medical school, you have to serve in the military a certain number of years. There are towns out there who will actually pay, you know, give you a scholarship to help you through school so that if you commit to coming back, it's kind of a cool deal.
Yeah, really cool. Yeah, the U's got a huge research program up there, right? Yeah. And they research on many, many industries and many, many fronts. I think the one we're probably most familiar with is the Kempsey Gardner Institute, which actually President Randall, that was one of the things he brought to the U.
Nice.
And that research is going to benefit us here also in Southern Utah. They're doing research on later life and how to extend life. And obviously, you know, we have a large retirement community down here. So the findings that they're getting up there at the U should benefit us down here. And they're very big on the sports front and preparing people to be, healthy and perform the best they can perform at sports. And we are obviously a very athletic community. And so there's a lot of things that will come out of the U that should benefit us down here. And I think President Randall will dig into that a little bit today.
Now I got to ask you, you already said you're not really that much into college basketball, but the U hired a native son, a guy that led them to pretty high heights. Alex Jensen is now their head basketball coach. Will there be a revival now of the U of U basketball?
Well, you know, and I sound like such a fair weather fan, right? Like if the U was playing in March Madness, I would be like watching the game, right? Yeah, I would put that on my calendar and I would make that happen. But yeah, it'll be nice to see if we can bring the heyday of the University of Utah back.
Did you know Utah did get invited to a postseason tournament?
Yeah, the NIT?
No.
it's
a new one called the NCAA Crown Tournament.
Oh,
and they're going to play Butler a week from, so on the 31st, so a week from Monday.
Oh, okay. Great. Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, the Crown Tournament, huh? Is that like RC Cola? I don't know what that is. I don't know. But.
You think RC Cola, I think a lot of people think of Crown Royals, but you know, background is.
I'm a teetotaler. I'm not a drinker. So, that's a big event happening today, and that will be where and when. Is it too late to go get tickets, or are you sold out? Or
you know what, we actually moved it out of the chamber where we can only fit about 50 people, and moved it into a hotel, so we can fit upwards of 100. And I think when I drove over here this morning, we had 85 people scheduled for it. Right, originally we were like, great, we'll hold it at the chamber like one of our power lunches. And then all of a sudden it went from, you know, 30 people to 80 people pretty quickly. And so we booked the Abbey Inn with Whitworth Hospitality, the Best Western Plus. Have you ever been over the Abbey Inn?
I have, yeah.
It's so kitschy cool. It is just, you know, you're like, oh, Best Western Plus. Like, what's the experience going to be like? They have the coolest event venue there. And
they do.
And it's decorated all funky and it's kind of contemporary. And then it's got like this 1920s feel to it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. My wife and I actually stayed there. This may be a decade ago on our anniversary. Just booked a night on our anniversary.
Nice.
And went over there and stayed, and it was kind of fun.
Yeah. So we'll be over there. So, yeah, I think there were about 15 tickets left this morning if we want to fill the room.
So if you're going to get them, you better hurry. Best way to get those tickets
is stgeorgechamber.com, and then click under events and go to our calendar, and you can click on today, and you're good to go from there.
Now, you also have coming up, is it a gala, a gala, a gala? I don't know how to say it right, but you got a big event coming up next week, is it?
Yeah, so we're calling this one an award show.
Okay.
And we have our annual gala.
It is a gala,
gala
too.
Yeah. We have our annual gala in, or gala, or however you want to
say it. I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I actually looked it up because it was driving me nuts, and they said either way is proper.
Yeah, there's like three different ways to say it. Yeah. So next week, next Thursday, we will have our awards, our Ellen Awards. Mm-hmm. And these are for women business leaders in Washington County that are having an economic impact and that are doing fantastic things and respected in the community. And so we had over 40 nominees this year, and we choose three honorees each year, and they will be honoring them next Thursday. So that our honorees are Natalie Britt from Greater Zion, mm-hmm. Colette Cox from the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity, and Jill Hunt from Buddy Mail, all coming from very different parts of the economy, but all making an impact and doing great things for us here. And they're fantastic women, very accomplished, have done incredible things for Southern Utah. And so we're really excited about that. Our keynote speaker will be Nicole Robison, AKA Nicole Tanner, the founder of SWIG. Right. And she's going to be our keynote speaker. Her and if you know Greg Robison, he is the CEO of RAM, mm-hmm. Aviation Space and Defense.
Talk about a power couple, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so they just got married a couple weeks ago. Hasn't been very long. And, mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So Nicole will be our keynote speaker. She's incredible.
I would hope she'll tell the story, the whole SWIG story, of how it came about and everything. I know I've read it several different times, but essentially she said she was sitting in the car watching people go in and out in like a Maverick or something, watching people just get out of their car, go in and get a drink and come back out to their car. And she's like, I'll bet a lot of these people would pay for like a drive-through or something to get their drinks. And she was right. Boy, was she right.
She was so right. And now they're in 14 states, over 100 locations.
I was just going to say, I don't know how many locations they have, but it's got to be over 100.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's outstanding. And she is just a bundle of energy. So before I ever met Nicole, she was a friend of my wife. Mm-hmm. And they had met through other friends and had gone hiking together. They did the rim to rim and the Grand Canyon.
Nice. Isn't that where you like run kind of too?
No, running.
Just
like
hike. Okay.
My wife's like, she felt lucky to survive it. It's like 24 or 26 miles. And you go in they went south to north. And so I think so. And anyway, you get dropped off on one end and picked up at the other. And it is, it's a grueling day, but.
And they bring a helicopter if you die in the middle somewhere, I guess. I don't know.
Andy, the stories are shocking, but
are they really?
We did have a group of friends who almost lost somebody.
Wow.
And it was a really tough experience to hear them talk about it. And, they had to get donkeys to go down in and get this woman that they had to leave on the side of the trail and block her up because it's super steep. It was on the way out that she finally broke down. She almost didn't make it. She was in the hospital for 3 weeks. She was on IVs for forever. And now she's good. But it was interesting. The training she'd done, she'd been running on a treadmill, for a marathon. And she was a last minute add to the group, but she hadn't been doing any high altitude hiking or anything.
But you run on a treadmill for a marathon, you feel like you're in pretty good shape, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it just, she got dehydrated, got away from her, and it was a rough situation. But anyway, long story short,
I interrupted you.
No. You're fine. They had gone hiking one time up in Cedar Breaks and had, as they were coming down through Cedar, they stopped at SWIG. And my wife's like, the next thing you know, Nicole's behind the counter. She's filling orders. She's just like, she's in it. And my wife's like, so we just sat there for like a half hour and watched her just be the CEO of this company and the passion she has for SWIG and customer service and an efficient business run. And she's just awesome. Yeah.
Imagine you're... You're a $13 an hour assistant manager at a Swig, and the CEO, the owner, comes in and says, hey, let me help you out for a little while.
Yeah, she did.
I think I would be kind of in shock. I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Did they recognize her at least, like right off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, and she's well-known in the company, and but she's so affable and such a kind person that her employees love her. And so my wife was like, it was just great watching her just jump in there and be in her element.
Yeah. She'll be speaking. Now, when is that again? Is that a week from week from tomorrow?
That's correct. So it's on the 27th, Black Desert Resort. Nice. And it's sold out, which is fantastic. We might have to look at opening up more seats. We sold out like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so maybe in the future we'll look at opening that up a little bit more. But it's a very popular event.
Now, what's the format of the event? Is it going to be kind of like the Academy where everybody's sitting in the audience and you have the speaker and the awards handed out? Or how does that work?
Yeah, so I follow the lead of our women's initiative and how they want to structure the event. So we've tried a few different formats, and we kind of feel like we found our lane at this point. And so it goes from like 11:30 to 1:10. And from 11:30 to noon is registration, and then getting your lunch and everything. And then at 1 o'clock we kick off, and you know, we do our thank yous and Pledge of Allegiance and all that fun stuff. And then we will move into our keynote speaker. Nicole will speak for about 20 minutes. And then the honoree part, we actually had all of our honorees come into the chamber. We recorded a video. We had a videographer while you're in town came in, and they recorded all the videos. And so they're preparing those. And so there'll be a video just talking about their journey and, you know, how they became a leader and who are their mentors along the way. And we had different questions for each of our honorees. And then they choose the person who is going to actually give them the award. So their person will come up. So like Colette Cox, Marilyn's her mom, and Marilyn won't come up. We'll actually take the microphone to her because she's not as mobile as she once was. And yeah, they'll talk about the honoree and then give them the award, and then they have a couple minutes to chat with the crowd.
So middle of a weekday, so it's not a tuxedo, fancy dress type thing.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
It's like business casual.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. A week from tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. out of Black Desert. And again, right now you're sold out. There's a possibility you might open it up for some more.
I think at this point we're locked in because there's size constraints with the number of people we put into the room that we booked. And so I think 200's our max. But, yeah, Black Desert Resort, they're also the presenting sponsor. I mean, you know, we got the LPGA coming here in May.
Yeah.
And
not very far away, believe it
or not. No. Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard this already or if your listeners have heard this, but Patrick Manning and Reef Capital made a huge investment. They're actually having 8 jets that they have rented will fly the people, the women who are playing in the LPGA event from the event that's the week before. The jets will pick them up there and fly them all in here to Southern Utah. Wow. so that they have transportation here. And then while they're here, they will be staying on resort at Black Desert Resort. Nice. And something you'll learn, the difference between the PGA and the LPGA is that, you know, your PGA players often get comped their rooms, and there's a lot of things that are provided.
Sure.
LPGA doesn't get that.
And
a lot of times, you know, they're in charge of their own accommodations and their own rental cars. And so Black Desert Resort is huge into supporting women and making the equality exist. And they are making that investment for that. So it's going to be awesome.
Nice. Well, we got a couple of minutes left. There are a couple of things that you want to bring up, or are we getting everything covered here?
I think we've talked about everything.
Well, I was going to ask you about legislature and some of the new bills and some of the new anything affecting chamber or maybe local business that you were keeping a close eye on with the legislature having just wrapped up.
Yeah. So unfortunately, I didn't write down bill numbers, but
We don't need numbers.
Yeah. There's a couple things. So there was one bill that came through that was concerning. That came through on the state level where they were going to establish a state level economic development group that could essentially come into any area
and develop a swath of state land for residential housing and bypass all local zoning.
That's not cool.
Yeah. So your planning commissions, your local city council, all of them, you know, the zoning laws, like it would have been driven by the state and not our cities. And fortunately, they were able to get that shut down and that didn't pass. And so it could be reintroduced at a later time, but
what was their reasoning behind all that?
Governor Cox is very focused on fixing the attainable housing issue that we have here.
Okay, but does that mean trampling over local municipalities and stuff? Because that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where it was like, if you're not going to do it, then we're going to do it.
And our
League of City and Towns, they stood up to that and said,
nice.
Hey, we need to be more collaborative about this. And so that was one that ended up not passing. But then one that did end up passing that should benefit our area is that, as you well know, we have a lot of illegal short-term rentals. So Airbnb or Vrbo. And those have an impact on our housing market from the perspective of somebody who owns that is obviously not living here. But they are buying the homes, and then a lot of times they're bypassing zoning laws, and they're having these illegally. And so at one point in time, the cities were looking for those homes on the different websites online, and then finding the people to get them to obey the law.
They're busting them as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're busting them.
Yeah. Well, then the state put out legislation that actually made that so that the cities couldn't do that. And the cities could still find them, but only if neighbors complained and the police were called. So it was more complicated and obviously more expensive. Representative Walter headed up a bill that has negated that so that now the cities can, again, be able to look for these illegal rentals, short-term rentals, and be able to find those individuals as long as there's a secondary piece of evidence to back that up. And I'm not educated enough on it to define what that secondary piece of evidence is. But so it's a trickle-down effect. And that effect is that those short-term rentals, if they can't run them as a short-term rental, they could turn into a long-term rental. And that'll help if there's more long-term rentals, they'll help drive price of long-term rentals down. And if it doesn't become profitable for them, then people might sell those homes, and more homes on the market means driving down some home prices so that homes become more attainable. So
sounds good.
Kudos to Representative Walters here in Southern Utah.
Yeah, and by the way, Neil was on the show last week, did a fantastic job. So,
yeah.
Well, Sean, we're out of time, but thank you for coming in today. You look like Johnny Cash with the Man in Black. You do have the U of U lapel pin.
So. I do. I'm an alum. I'm a big fan.
He is. And, good luck with your luncheon today and President Randall. And I think things will be fantastic. We almost got him on the show with you today, but it didn't quite work out.
So yeah, yeah.
Timing-wise, but.
Another time. I'll get him to commit for another time. We'll make it happen.
Yeah. Always a pleasure, Sean. Thank you for coming on today.
Thanks,
good
Andy.
To talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's check weather.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU. Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy. David Romer from Modern Warriors is with me now. David, how are you, man?
Doing well. Good morning.
Life treating you well? Everything's good?
Yeah, can't complain.
You got a couple of little ones at home? Are you getting any sleep? Or?
Yeah, we're getting some sleep. They're pretty good sleepers. But
That's good. That's good to
less
hear.
Than I used to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then the ultimate curse in life is you finally get the kids to move out, you know, maybe 15, 16 years, 17 years from now, and your body and your bladder and stuff wake you up all night anyway at that point. And you're like, well, I guess you don't realize, you know, when you're 18 and can sleep till noon that how good that really is.
Yeah.
So
still can't know.
Yeah. The subject today, of course, Dave is a firearms expert and a former trainer, and of course sells them now. And people coming in asking all kinds of questions. Dave, what are some of the maybe you know, somebody said there's no such thing as a dumb question, but has there been one or two when you've come in where people, you're like, really? You're asking that? I mean, you know, you don't have to describe who they are or say their names, but maybe talk about some of the strange questions you've gotten.
Yeah, I mean, you'll get some, you will definitely get some weird ones. I try to purge as many of those from my memory as possible because sometimes you sit there and you go, man, I can't believe people would actually ask that. That's not a scary thought. Yeah. That's a scary thought. I don't know. You also get skewed a little bit. I mean, for us, you know, we'll hear something, and to us it seems like a dumb question because we're into the market and the industry and the training aspect and all that. We understand. We already know, like, it's if you've been training for a while, like, this seems really obvious. But a lot of these people haven't been training for a while. So while it seems kind of silly to us, it's not necessarily a bad question.
That's true.
I would say one of the more common ones that I would put in that category would be, you know, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this guy. And then, you know, I mean, really, I should just shoot for their legs, right? And you're like, well, I mean, okay, if you've been shooting a long time and you've been through all this and understand, it's like, okay, that's obviously not something you should do.
No.
But I do easily see where if you haven't been shooting all the time, that actually does seem like a good idea because then you don't have to worry about killing somebody and, like, maybe your legal liability be less and all this. It should stop them. I mean, I can see where your mind goes and gets there. It's, right. You know, it's actually not a dumb question.
They do that in the movies, right? They see it in the movie and they go, that's what I'm going to do.
Right. It's actually not a dumb question. It's just, you know, if you're used to doing stuff all the time, it's like, well, we established this decades ago, you know? but that's okay.
And the other thing maybe they forget is we're talking about a moving target. You're talking about...
Yes, you know, absolutely.
You think hitting a moving target body mass, you know, is hard. How about trying to hit a leg of a moving target?
That's right.
No, that's not going to happen.
Large range of motion.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about one of the things that I had texted you last night about was the fact that a lot of people will buy a firearm and maybe even at first get somewhat proficient at it, maybe not too, and then they just think, okay, at this point I've got a gun, I'm good. And I think, Dave, that people need to understand that just because you own a gun doesn't make you a firearms expert. And certainly proficiency is something that's got to be worked on. It's not like riding a bicycle. You did it once and you'll always remember it.
That is very true. It is a perishable skill. It is something you need to stay on top of or it will deteriorate. Unfortunately, I wish it didn't.
It'd be a lot nicer. Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you hear statistics and you see people conceal carrying and doing all that. And it's, you know, statistics are, I think it's what, 7 feet, 3 rounds, 4 seconds or less.
Yeah.
You know, that's the average for defensive shooting in this country. And if you look at that, it's like, well, okay, I don't have to shoot very far.
I'm good. Yeah.
7 feet? Okay, yeah, I can just point shoot that.
Yeah,
most people could. Now under stress or with recoil, maybe not for multiple rounds.
And a moving target.
But the flip side is, okay, so you're going to train for the absolute best case scenario in terms of marksmanship. Doesn't seem like a very good policy.
No, it seems like it ought to be the opposite. Train for the worst.
You train for the worst, hope for the best, right? Yeah. So, you've seen it. I mean, you know, you had that shooting in Texas in the church. A few years ago, the guy came in with a long gun, and one of the I guess, I don't know if he was church security or like a deacon or something, but he's across the sanctuary. He was supposed to be there concealed carrying to help protect the church, and I mean, he pulled his pistol out and shot this dude across the sanctuary with all
amazing.
These people. That's not 7 feet.
No, it is not.
There's also a lot of innocent people between you and that target.
Right.
So probably freaking out and probably moving around. Not thinking about where you are. Might not even know where you are to get out of your way. Right. You had the guy in the mall, the young kid in the mall.
90 feet, I think it was, that he shot the guy.
In a crowded mall with people screaming and sprinting all over.
90 feet, 30 yards with a handgun.
And was landing rounds quite effectively.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like, you're like 7 out of 8 or something.
Very effective and quickly. I mean, it's also not like stuff of movies or legends to end up into these scenarios where you would actually need marksmanship. Right? That's not some really far off, obscure thought. That's a real thing that can happen. seemingly happening more and more often, in my opinion, from looking at more of these shootings that are coming out. It seems more regular that you would have more distance and potential more friendlies in the environment, which only further emphasizes how much more you need to train and be proficient with that and stay on top of it. I mean, anybody can point shoot, you know, a couple feet. that's not too hard. But it's being prepared for those longer shots, and especially accurate shots. You're accountable for every one of those rounds. So, I mean, if you think you're good and, man, oh, well, I hit the target 8 out of 10 times, but those other two hit innocent people, you're still on the hook for those other two.
Oh, man.
Right? Yeah. You have the right intentions, but you're still sobering. On the hook for those other two.
That is sobering.
And that's a big deal, obviously. It's not now, to be taken lightly.
Now, when I did a lot of training with handguns on the range, I think the max distance, I was about 50 feet or so, maybe, I don't know, not much longer than that. Now, the ones you were talking about were longer than 50 feet, you know, the real-life examples. Should we be proficient in longer than 30, 40, 50 feet?
Should you practice it? Yes. Would I say that's primarily what you need to practice? No. I mean, if you look a little more doctrinally, let's just say my background's military, so we'll go military background. If you're 25 yards and in, and you have an issue with your rifle, you don't even mess with your rifle. You just switch to your pistol. Anything in that range, you go straight to handgun. And if you're in that range, if you're in kind of a compromised position or space, you might go to handgun anyway. Mm-hmm. 25 is kind of that envelope where it's considered like effective, in almost all circles. I would say 50 in a lot of circles, 50 yards would still be considered, that would still be within the max effective range of a handgun, which includes a lot of variables. Does that mean you should never shoot it further than that? No. I mean, it's good to know. You can never know too much, right? Or be proficient enough. The other thing you'll find out is you can train at 50 yards all the time. You're going to get really, really good at that. Push your target to 100 yards and you'll notice you start missing. It takes that much less error for you to realize that you're making an error, right? And so pushing that out, it's not necessarily that I need to make sure I can be perfect at 100 yards all the time, because that's where I'm always going to shoot with a handgun. That's a little wild. But it could tell me pretty quick, ooh, I thought I was doing really good, but, man, I'm jerking this trigger. I didn't realize it, but I am jerking this trigger a little bit more than I thought I was. I need to go back and focus on that. Then you can go back close and work on trigger control, right? It's a good diagnostic tool for stuff like that.
A lot of people, I had this problem when I first started shooting. You mentioned jerking. I would anticipate the bang, either the noise or the recoil,
very common,
and start moving slightly right before the impact, you know, where the I don't know what you call it, the point of no return with the trigger.
Right.
And the anticipation. Yeah. The anticipation was making me inaccurate for a while until I got used to it.
Absolutely.
And one of the ways, it's funny, my instructor said, listen, here's what you do. You put blanks or empty rounds in various spots in your gun so that there's actually not a shot going off when you shoot. So.
Right, yeah, and randomly mix them in.
Yeah,
right?
Randomly. That's what I was
like,
looking
for. If you know where it is, it's not much of a help training-wise,
that's
right?
True.
You know,
1, 2, 3, oh, here it comes.
Now, the initial part of that, if you're having a lot of problems with that, something we did a lot is you take an empty casing or like a dime or a penny or something, and you would unload your gun, and you would have them have somebody press out like they're going to shoot, line up their sights, and you actually set that on top of the front sight and make them dry fire that gun, pull that trigger with no ammo. And if you can keep it up there, right, a lot of people, when they do that, they'll drop that off that front sight and it'll fall on the ground. You already know you're jerking or you're anticipating or something's going on there. So sit there and practice without shooting any ammo. It's free to do it. Just sit there. You can do it all day long in your house. But sit there and get to where you can consistently pull that trigger without anything falling off that front sight. That's going to get you pretty darn close. Can go back and start mixing ammo in. And it's, oh, man, I missed it. I got in the groove. I anticipated that.
I did just get a text, a good text. It says, good morning. Does ammo have an expiration? And I think I thought about this too. So I bought a bunch of rounds for my handgun. They're in my closet in the safe with the gun right now, even as we speak. I kind of got addicted there for and bought like 5 different guns. but I have that ammo. Is that ammo going to last forever or for a year or what?
your biggest your what's going to make the difference on that is how you store it. So if you're letting it cycle temperatures in extreme ways all the time, it's going to decrease how long you can store
that.
Moisture is your biggest enemy. You get a bunch of moisture in there, it can actually seep its way into that powder. And there are times you'll see them where, like, you can tell after you fired a round off that one had moisture in it, because you'll see like a bunch of powder that's still sitting in there and it's like caked to one side. And usually you'll get like a squib load or something. The round gets stuck in the barrel or barely goes, hardly cycles, something like that. I mean, generally though, as long as you take some care to it, you're not bending the casings, you know, you're not harming them physically in that sense. You're keeping the moisture generally away. And like, I wouldn't throw it, living in the desert, I wouldn't throw it out where it's going to cycle, you know, 30 degrees up to 120 degrees all the time.
No.
That's not good for it. But it's not like it's got to be some pristine museum level environment to keep this stuff for decades. I mean, it'll last ages, absolutely okay. Ages. I have personally shot ammo that was made in the 20s.
Wow. Okay.
And it ran great, you know. So, storage is your big caveat to that.
My ammo is stored in a climate control. It's inside the house, so it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's not exposed to those, you know, 30 degrees and 115 degrees.
Right.
It's climate controlled. So you're saying my ammo is probably going to be good for a while.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. I wouldn't worry too much on that.
Nice. All right, let's get a commercial break in. More with Dave Romer here on the Andy Griffin Show right after this.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Andy Griffin. A couple of events coming up this weekend that I wanted to make you aware of. First of all, Friday night at Tuacon, Grand Funk Railroad in concert. Not a sound-alike band, but the actual band, Grand Funk Railroad. And they're an American band. Remember that song? Those old-timers like me remember. Anyway, it should be a good concert. And I'm going to be giving away some tickets to Grand Funk Railroad tomorrow and Friday on this program. So, And then also this weekend is the home show. See the official name of it. The St. George Home Expo is the official name of it. It's at the Dixie Convention Center. It goes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, noon to 8, Saturday, 10 to 6, and Sunday, 11 to 4. They have a website, stgeorgehomeexpo.com. I'm going to be there Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And while I'm there, I have right here, I'm holding them right in my hand, a night stay to Eureka Resort and a $25 food gift voucher. Two of those I'm going to be giving away during that 11 to 1 time at the Home Expo. So, and I think you'll also be able to see Dead Meat. Well, not Dead Meat, but the headstone that I had the Ducrest guys make for me that has my wife and I's name on it. Fortunately, we only have the first date, you know, the birth date. It doesn't have the death date yet.
At least you haven't already planned that. That's good. That's good.
All right. So we got about 5 minutes left. Dave, I wanted to ask you, why in the world would I get a concealed carry
public school campus?
If you have a concealed carry permit,
and obviously you're doing everything correctly, you're not
right
making a scene or doing anything else, but that is going to be okay. Crossing a state line, Utah is one of the most highly recognized concealed carry permits across the country as far as reciprocity. Nice. However, that only applies to having a concealed carry permit. So again, having constitutional carry, they have reciprocity to Utah, you still can't carry there because you don't have a permit, so they don't recognize that.
About how many states do the constitutional carry where you don't have to have a permit?
I think it was last year it got bumped up to like 26 have passed that now.
Half.
So it is rapidly increasing, actually. That was almost none probably 5 years ago.
Wow.
But yeah, it's going up pretty quick. However, having that permit just kind of verifies for sure you're going to be able to do that. When you're buying guns, Utah, we actually have a system set up where we can run your concealed instead of your driver's license. And since the concealed carry permit system is actually checking your background all the time, technically we're not running a background check. We're making sure they haven't revoked it. Because of that,
because they run it, you don't have to.
They're running it already, so yeah. There's no need to redo it. And they are on top of it. They do it very often. however, with that means we don't get charged background check fee, which means most shops, you don't get charged a background check fee,
nice.
Which is nice. I mean, it's not overly expensive in Utah, but it's a nice added bonus. One of the bigger ones that I think gets often overlooked, though, is justified shootings. right? So if you get into a justified shooting, you're almost guaranteed to go to court, whether it's civil and or criminal.
Like it or not, even if it was a bad guy going to kill you, if you shoot him, they're going to,
At a minimum, you're probably going to end up in civil court getting sued from their family, which is a little different topic, but a little crazy to me.
Yeah.
On a justified shooting. But anyway, that part aside, you're probably going to end up there. And obviously, we know that they try to get as many people on the jury that fit their predisposed notion of what should happen as possible. That's just the game, right?
Yeah.
The way I would look at that, and I try to put myself in my opposition shoes on a lot of things, right? On all fronts. But if I look at it from the standpoint of I'm an anti-gunner. I don't think people should have guns and be defending themselves doing all that, right? That's already my mindset. And I go into this court case, civil or criminal, even if this was considered a justified legal shooting, I'm going to sit there and go, wait, so you're telling me this guy was carrying a gun, and yeah, it was justified, but there was a state-sponsored course that, whether it was relevant in this situation or not, was specifically designed for this scenario, for carrying guns, that he could have taken to get trained on this to be better prepared, and he opted out of it. How's that going to look optically to someone that hates guns and thinks people shouldn't have them?
Yeah.
They're probably going to look at that, as they often do, as he was just trying to shoot somebody. That was really what he was trying to do.
Let's give the bad guy some money.
Right. Yeah. And so is it a ton of protection in that front? No, but it is a slight protection. And for, I think it's $50 to the state for your initial, and then $25 to the state for renewal. And all of those are good for 5-year periods. And it's like $50 to take the class up front. That's pretty cheap insurance to help alleviate some of that to me. I don't know. To me, that makes a lot of sense. It's not that much.
I know we get advertisements on our station for the USCCA, the Concealed Carry Association.
Yes.
Is that something that you would recommend you look at and say?
Absolutely, yeah. And there's a few companies out there doing it. They're probably the biggest one, the most well-known. But they are actually there if you're a member to help cover legal fees and navigate the legal system on your behalf. For justified shootings. The moment that is deemed as a illegal shooting or anything else, that coverage
they're
goes
gone,
away.
Yeah.
But they're
saying, look, there are justified shootings and we've got your back in case, because they acknowledge right up front, you're probably going to end up in court.
Good,
bad, or whatever, you're going to be
there. Almost a guarantee. In some form or fashion, you'll end up in court.
Okay.
So. But yeah, those companies are around. That they do good work. They definitely help a lot of people out. So,
all right. I do not. Full disclosure: I do not have a concealed carry permit, and I am not a member of the USCCA. So I'm not. Yep. I'm not advertising for them. But in my mind, I'm like, maybe I should be. You know, it's something to think about for sure.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only con I can think of is 4 hours of your time on one day, and then the cost. And again, your initial upfront cost, you're about $100-$105. And then renewals after 5 years is $25.
Not much, really.
For every 5 years after that.
For a little peace of mind.
That's less than a background check per year, by the way.
Wow.
$7.50 for a background. $5 a year for renewal.
He's Dave Romer. Dave, thanks for coming on today. It's been a pleasure talking
to you,
my friend. We'll be back tomorrow. Mayor Nanette Billings on this show. We'll talk to you then.